Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're talking about how to recognize when you're becoming a jaded traveler. How do you keep chasing those travel highs when you feel like you've done it all and seen it all? And on top of that, how do you continue finding joy in your everyday life once you're off the road and back at home? So let's get into it. Oh, it's been a minute, Steph.
Yes, it has.
You and I have been so busy for the last few weeks. I feel like we've barely spoken. Usually, like, when we don't put out an episode for a while, you and I still talk quite constantly. But even, like, we've both been away.
I harass you, basically.
Yeah. And, like, we just have not been harassing each other. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in ages. You were on a road trip. You just got back.
Yeah, I just spent a week doing a road trip through New South Wales. So went and saw a lot more of the state that I haven't seen yet. And then where did you just get back from?
Well, I went to Venice and Florence. So I did like a little mini like vacation these places I'd never been. I was meant to go like 2 years ago, pre-COVID. And I had a couple days off work and was like, do you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go. So I did a little solo trip over there and it was amazing. And then I went to Dubai as well. That was a work trip.
And I feel like you also forget you've gone to Dublin here and there.
True. You have been. Oh, God, yeah. I went to Dublin.
Country hopping.
Yeah, I actually forgot about Dublin. So yeah, I went to Ireland. It was a friend's bachelorette party, which was wild. Yes. You and I, it's exciting though, because I like when we're not, you know, when you and I aren't speaking, but we're both off gallivanting around the world. I'm like, cool. This is like a good reason why we're not in constant contact and needy when we're bored. Yes. And that's when, yeah. But this is, you know, I was sort of thinking about this and how we put out an episode, I don't know, a while back now, about how travel changes you. And we really talked about the good elements, like the positive changes that traveling has on people. And there's tons of them, you know, like obviously, yeah, well, we talked about them. Everyone go listen to that episode. I'm not going to dive into those, you know, now. But I think one of the things, and Steph, you and I sort of talked about this on one of our long drives, very long drives in Canada when we were there. Yeah. And we were sort of talking about the one sort of big downside that I feel like people don't really acknowledge or talk about a lot when it comes to traveling. And that's how traveling, once you travel a lot, it can make you a bit jaded. You sort of lose out on the excitement over time. And you and I were both kind of talking about our experiences with that. And we're like, we should do an episode on that because it's real. And we're not talking travel blues, like post-travel blues.
I think we're actually talking about the opposite of post-travel blues, because post-travel blues are kind of like immediately following a trip and they're more short-term versus this is more, you know, this goes a bit deeper.
Yeah.
Like you're actually losing your joy for other things.
Well, that's it. And it's what I think what we're trying to say is like the more you do something, so the more we travel, right, the less exciting it becomes over time, or it can anyways. And it's like once something becomes the norm, you know, it's just sort of this monotonous like, oh, okay, I've booked another trip, now I'm getting on another plane, now I'm going here, now I'm going to see this, oh, I've already seen this, you know, something similar before. So That's what we're talking about.
I think I've actually seen exactly what you just said, too, from a lot of the really big name travelers or travel bloggers. They all encounter this, and some of them will actually speak openly about it, and a lot of them hide it because, and this, you and I talked about this in quite some depth, is when you're a travel blogger or, you know, you're a YouTuber or whatever you are, or you just travel and don't post anything.
Travel's your identity is what you're saying.
When travel becomes your identity, and I'm sure a lot of people encountered this March 2020 real quick. And that's taken away from you. Like, who are you without that? So even if, say, you've been on the road for a year, 2 years, long-term trip, you come home, you're actually excited to be home, you needed the break.
Yeah.
But then you start to get that question of, who am I without that?
Right. And it's so, it's funny that you mentioned, when we talked about COVID, that, you know, that's a great example of a lot of people that, as you said, they felt like they lost their identity. And I even remember being on Twitter and seeing Nomadic Matt, so he's a, you know, well-known sort of travel blogger, written a few books, and he had posted something, I can't remember the exact tweet, but it was like, you know, I really miss traveling or something, and people really came for him in the comments being like, oh, you're so privileged, like, you know, there's other things in the world besides traveling, and like, I got their point, but also for someone where it's like, no, well, that's his job. Like, that's what he does for a living. That is his identity. Like, I felt for him. And I think this is why people probably don't talk about it a lot, getting that feeling, because people then do look at you and go, what a privileged person you are. Where like, you know, oh, you don't get excited anymore about seeing your 100th temple or or church or like, you know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. I think that, well, I think there's two sides to this too, that we've kind of touched on already, is that there's, you've done it so much, you start losing the joy in everyday life while you're on the road. So that example you just gave, you know, you're seeing your 100th temple or you're seeing your 100th cathedral. You've lost your passion to see those things. Or alternatively, when you get home and you're not on the road, you've lost joy in all the other things that life encompasses.
Right.
And both can be equally destructive for a person.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But to the point about Nomadic Matt and people coming for him, though, what gets me is, you know, people who say they were a violinist and they played in the symphony. If they were to tweet, you know, I really miss performing and being on stage 5-6 nights a week, I don't think anyone would come for them.
No, you're right.
Because that is their identity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yes, travel is always a privilege to be able to do it. But when it's all you know, too, you still have that sense of loss.
Yeah. And I think, so I remember you were saying, actually, you watched some documentary, an Anthony Bourdain documentary on the way over from Canada, which I think is how this sort of conversation sparked.
They made a documentary about him after he died. It's called Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain. So I watched that when I was flying over. And the focus of it was actually, it obviously touched on who he is, how he became big, how travel was his passion. But it was exactly this. Like, at the end, he had all these amazing things and did the amazing things. People would dream of that opportunity. And he took his life. Like, why did he take his life? And that ties into exactly what we're talking about, is all the other things start to lose joy.
There was no excitement anymore. It's like he had been...
And the loss of purpose.
Right.
When you're not doing those things.
I suppose if you feel like you've done everything as well, when you're always chasing, like, it almost reminds me of, you know, you're like a drug. Like, you're chasing the next high, you know? Like, think about, I mean, the first time, you know, you ever had a drink, okay? We'll use alcohol as an example. But, like, I'm sure there's other people that have tried other stuff that they can use this as the example. But like, your first drink. I mean, I got super drunk off my first, you know, one drink, my first time ever trying alcohol. And then like, over time. Yep.
My one vodka and orange juice, I was wasted.
Same. That's what I had. I think I was, oh God, I was probably like 14. But I was so drunk. And then like, over time, your tolerance builds up and up and up. And, you know, and the same goes for any other, you know, drug. But it's like, so traveling, I sort of look at it like, think of the first time you and I got on that plane. We went over to London and Dublin.
Yeah.
Right?
We were giddy.
We were so giddy. We were so excited to be staying in a hostel. We were so excited to be walking around like these cobblestone stone streets, taking pictures of like every building that we walked by. And like now, I mean, granted, I live over in London, but anywhere really in Europe, it doesn't have the same. I'm like, what more can I see? How many more cobblestone streets can I see? How many more, yeah, you know, old buildings can I see? And I don't know. It just is what it is. Like, I'm saying this and I'm like, I don't know how to change that. How do I get excited over an old pub again? Like we did the first time we went to the George, which was built in the 1400s. And I feel like Anthony Bourdain, well, granted, he's done way more exciting shit than me and you combined.
Yeah.
But like, I get it. Like, I get for someone like him and like the tragic ending of his life was due to he just had no joy left because he was constantly chasing for that next high. I don't know.
I have so much sympathy. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, celebrity, hard life. But working in the music industry and working with a big artist, I would see it all the time. Every time we put on a performance, especially at festivals, they're out there performing 50, 60, sometimes 100,000 or more crowd. And the energy is something you can't describe from the stage. And then they walk off stage and you go to your hotel where it's silent. There's nothing happening. And just the contrast between one to the other. And this is why so many people develop, you know, alcohol dependencies and drug addictions, because you come off the stage on such a high and then you want to continue that high because you don't know how to cope with the loss of it. So I actually have a lot of sympathy for Anthony Bourdain and other celebrities because they don't teach you how to do that. And you're expected to always be grateful for what you have. Which, honestly, most people are. But because you should be grateful, you're not allowed to experience these other things, which isn't life.
Well, and it's even like you saying this. Like, I don't know if we talked about this on a previous episode, but I know we definitely had this discussion, or I had this discussion with like someone else, you know, when we were kind of talking about the same thing. But if you think of some of the happiest people you know, so anytime I go back to Brantford, our hometown, I've bumped into like old friends from high school that a lot of them haven't done, like if you were to look at what they've done in their life, and not that it's a bad thing, but I'm saying like a lot of them have never left.
Yeah.
They're still working like the same, maybe the same job that they did in like, you know, after they finished high school, like they're working at like a factory or whatever. Like all these things that I would look at and be like, wow, how boring. Like
that's not what you want for your life.
That's not what I want. But every time I see a lot of these people back home, I'm like, wow, they seem so happy and content. Like they genuinely seem, you know, because again, I'm like, who am I to judge? It's almost like the more stuff you do in life, again, like you're chasing that next high. And it's like, are we just becoming less content with our everyday life? If that makes sense?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think of so much of it comes back to that sense of identity. And obviously, I've definitely been guilty of sometimes I come home from a trip and I'm already looking at the next one, and not for any bad reasons. I'm excited and I'm on a high and I am passionate and I have that fire in me. And then I think there's times where I've definitely looked at flights or trips or whatever because I don't know what else to do.
Right.
So I think part of it is always being very intentional and like, why am I booking this? Because you hear about people where they're almost booking something for the thrill of the booking of it and then telling people about it. And they're getting more enjoyment out of the act of booking and telling people than they are out of actually being there.
That
is such a good way to recognize like when you need to reevaluate, because it should always be the experiences that are bringing you joy. And if they're not, then maybe stop doing that. Maybe what you used to enjoy isn't what brings you joy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that as well, like switching up the way that you're traveling. Like, I don't know, if you're used to staying in hostels, maybe try like a hotel, like a fancy hotel or like a different type of activity. Like, don't do a walking tour. I don't know. Don't go see another church or cathedral. If you're bored of them, go do something else. Find, you know, a food tour.
I get what you're saying, because I'm thinking what comes to mind is because obviously when we were younger, we did all inclusives. And then as we grew up, we got a little judgy of all inclusives. But maybe sometimes when you've lost joy and like going to new places, maybe you'll actually get more enjoyment out of that because you haven't done it in so long that you will have more of an appreciation, that you'd lost that appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if there is, like, also, you know, going back to talking about, you know, people that haven't experienced as much. So, like, you know, let's talk about the people from, you know, that we maybe grew up with, that maybe have left the country once or twice in their life, or they've just done the all-inclusives. Like, is there a balance that we have to find? Like, okay, here's a good example. You know how they say people that earn, like, they did this study.
Yeah.
And, like, the more money you earn doesn't necessarily equate happiness. And they actually said it was somewhere along the line of, like, $60,000 or $70,000 a year, they said, is, like, the peak happiness.
I think it's actually less than that.
Yeah. It's something, yeah, or maybe it was.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's like, I mean, I don't know if they did this in dollars or pounds or, you know.
Yeah.
But it was something like people that, you know, okay, so fine. If you're earning 30 grand a year, all right, you might be like struggling a bit, which, you know, makes you unhappy. And then like the more money you earn, you get to like that 60, 70 grand mark and you're content. You've got enough to pay your bills. You're doing, you know, you've got enough left over to do all the fun things you want. And then they were saying like anything over that, like people's happiness levels actually stayed about the same. Is it the same as travel? That's the point I'm trying to make. Is there like a balance? And what is it? Has anyone figured this out?
Well, and I know the logic for the financial reason is that there's a certain threshold where people can afford their needs. So they can afford housing, they can afford, you know, food, all their bills, they can afford some extracurricular activities and hobbies. And then once you go start going past that threshold, you're actually just, you're buying the same things, just nicer versions. So instead of, you know, maybe a used car, you're buying a new car. But that doesn't actually give you any more happiness. So you've already reached that threshold. And if you're not happy at that point, it's inner work that needs to be done.
Okay.
So relating that to travel, I mean, I think that's everyone's so different. I think everyone's so different because maybe I'm having an aha moment here. Well, maybe there's like a life quota and some people do long-term travel and then hit that quota earlier. And some people who go on trips less frequently hit that quota later, maybe?
Maybe. And that's what I'm wondering. Like, I don't know. Like, am I going to get... Because I do experience this. Like, I've said, even... I remember when I went to Venice. And Venice is beautiful and I had a great time. But, like, I remember even, like, getting on the plane that day. I was like, oh, I've got to go on a plane. Like, and I was sitting, like, thinking to myself. I'm like, I'm about to go. And I had a great time. I did. But, like, it was... It's not like I got that giddy feeling of, like... going the day before. And I don't know if there was a bit of anxiety because I don't think anyone had to wear masks anymore on the plane. Like things were changing. I don't know what it was, but it was like I definitely get those feelings. And I'm like, I'm sort of recognizing that it is happening to me a little bit. And I'm like, am I going to get to a point when I'm older that I'm not going to want to travel anymore? I'm going to be like, do you know what? I like being at home. I don't want to get on a plane. I don't care about going to some new country. I don't know. And it scares me a little bit, but like, also, maybe it's a case of like, I feel like I've got my quota, like you just said. Like, maybe I'll get to a point where I'm like, do you know what? I've done enough. I don't have to do it all. I've done enough. And for me, that's good enough because, you know, I'm like, is it going to be a case of like, I feel like I have to do it. And then it's just, again, going to keep sucking the sort of life out of me in my everyday, you know, like, and I'm saying that like quite dramatically, but could it get to that point? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but.
And I think that is just where everyone needs to be able to look at themselves and say, first of all, acknowledging if you've hit that point, because sometimes it's hard to recognize.
Yeah.
And you're just booking things and going places because that's what you do and you don't know anything different.
Right.
Yeah. And then just doing that work or taking a break. Maybe if you stop enjoying planes, maybe, you know, you talked at some point about buying a van and going on a van life trip.
Yeah.
Maybe what you've always done just isn't right for you. Like me, something that's changed over time, not just in terms of how I travel, but is my purpose for travel.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I said that I would never go to the same place twice. Mm-hmm. That was my, I'm like, nope, been there, done that, need to see a new place.
Yeah.
Where sometimes I'm like, oh, I would go back there because I only scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I get more excited now to do things, like even booking a trip to Canada. Like, I was excited to do that road trip, but I was excited same. To do it with you.
Yeah.
Or I do go back to California quite a bit because I have a girlfriend that lives there. And like what I said I would never do, A, I do now. And yeah. Because my purpose for travel has changed and maybe just saying, okay, it's okay for me to change. Like I don't have to do what I've always done. And that can mean traveling for a different reason or that can mean maybe taking a break for however long it takes.
Yeah. And I get that because I used to be the same. Like 10 years ago, I remember I had like, I kept a list of all the countries that I visited. And like, it was the same thing when I was planning out my next trip. I'd be like, no, I've already been to Germany. And I feel like now I'm like, I don't really care. Like, and I will, I don't know. It does make it a bit easier. I'm like, if I just want to go, it doesn't have to be like I'm proving anything to anyone or even myself, you know?
I think that's such a good part about getting older though, too.
Like yeah.
When you're younger, you do things a lot more for appearances, for other people. And you might love it, like a win for you and you're proving something or you're showing right. something. Whereas you get older, you really stop giving a shit about yeah. what other people think. And I guess that also ties into your reason for traveling.
You know, and tying this back to like Anthony Bourdain, which is a very obviously like extreme case extreme. Of,
yeah,
you know. But I'm like, maybe Anthony Bourdain needed to just retire from his TV, you know, like doing the TV stuff. And like
that was the thing is he... So I don't remember everything because it was a couple months ago I watched it now. So forgive me yeah. if I don't get these details right. But I think that was the struggle at the end was he did stop or he did try to retire. And he had previously taken a break from it all when he had his kid. And he said he had so much fulfillment in just taking his kids to school and,
yeah.
you know, those little everyday joys. And yeah. then whereas, so when he retired or when he took this last break, he really thought, you know, he'd have that satisfaction and joy in the everyday life. And he didn't. His kids were adults. He didn't have a sense of purpose when he stopped.
Right.
And obviously, even with a documentary, you don't know everyone's struggle. You don't know what they're going through. So I certainly can't speak to like.
No, of what, course not. But
why he did what he did. But it was very apparent that he had expected to have joy in everyday life when he stopped and then he yeah. didn't. And coping with that is huge.
Yeah. And maybe I guess it is, you know, and here's the thing, like Steph and I, we're doing this episode where we're just talking on the topic. I don't have the answers.
I don't have the answers. Yeah.
I experienced this obviously not to a you know, the same way that somebody like Anthony Bourdain. And again, he really chased adventure. Like he was doing, I mean, I don't know, maybe if I was doing the same stuff as he was, as much as he was, maybe I would feel the same. But I guess maybe there's an element of finding those little joys in everyday life. And I guess, as you know, they talk about like gratitude journaling and all that, which I've tried in the past. And like, you know, I know you have to be consistent with it, but maybe it is an element of what are, you know, just the little everyday things that gave you some spark, you know, of joy that day. And I don't know, it's, do we need to start doing this when we're not traveling, you know?
I think that's one really good, you know, trying to find a silver lining, maybe not a good thing, but one positive outcome of the last 2 years is so many people who have had to reevaluate, who am I without X? And for us, that was travel. Yeah. But yeah. for other people, it might have just been like going for their wine night every Friday night and suddenly they couldn't. Mm-hmm. So many things have been stripped away from so many people. You have to ask yourself, you know, if your identity was tied to just one thing, suddenly you realize, hold on, I need to be a bit more multifaceted and get more purpose from multiple things.
I remember when lockdown actually first started, I read this book, which I would highly recommend to anyone. But it was, I remember I bought the book and I never read it. And then it was very fitting for lockdown. It was The Unexpected Joys of the Ordinary by Catherine Gray. She's a British author. Right. And she's written a couple other books. She has another one called The Unexpected Joys of Being Single, which for any single ladies out there, or men, actually, highly recommend that one as well, because it's really good. But she's all about finding those little joys. So obviously the one about being single, it's talking about, you know, all the benefits of being single. You know, we don't need to be tied down to a person, and, you know, a person shouldn't, you know, be your identity, which almost ties in a little bit to what we're talking about, like travel is the same thing. But yeah, this book was, you know, it talked about, you know, finding those little joys, and just kind of like, well, exactly what the title is, looking at the everyday things we would consider mundane, but where can we find happiness in that, and where we don't have to be constantly chasing the next quote-unquote exciting moment or adventure. And yeah, I mean, maybe it's that. Maybe it's like when you come back from this like awesome travel experience and then you come home to that quiet apartment and you're feeling, you know, the post-holiday blues are kicking in. How do you...
Like we said, we don't have the answers. We just know this is a problem. Many people have. Just this week, for anyone listening, asking yourself, who am I other than travel? For me, it's the podcast, mostly because I enjoy doing it with you. I get a lot of satisfaction from that. It's my work, my events work that I do, my relationships with multiple people. If I had to pick yours, you can speak to them better, but like your cats.
God, I am a crazy cat lady now, but it's true though.
Your place, your relationships, like there are things we really highly value in addition to travel. Yeah. So for anyone listening, I would challenge you to, even if it's in your head, everything's better if you write it down or you verbalize it. Yeah. But what defines you other than
traveling? Yeah.
Yeah. Homework.
Everyone's got a bit of homework to do. Yeah, I like it. And yeah, I mean, I wish I had like a crystal ball that I could look at myself in 10 years and see like, am I still going to be chasing travel? Like, I don't know. I think I will, but I'm like, am I still going to have that, you know, I would love to get that feeling back of like the firsts. You know, we actually did an episode where we talk about our firsts and our first experiences of things. And I don't know, maybe it's about trying new firsts, but then again, it's like, then you're just chasing something new. You're chasing something bigger. Like, when does it stop? How much is it going to take for us to get, you know, keep that feeling? It's almost like a marriage, you know, or like a relationship. Like the honeymoon period wears away over time. And then next thing you know, you're sleeping in single beds 30 years later, farting in front of each other, no care in the world. But like, you still love each other, right? I don't know.
I mean, I've never been in a 30-year relationship, so I can't speak to that.
Okay, 5 years. I mean, same thing.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I mean, this is why people start swinging, right?
We've just gone into a territory I know nothing
about. Same, I don't know. I'm just, you know, people are always looking for that new, like, you know.
I'd imagine there's layers of why people start swinging. You know what, though? So these are just good questions to ask yourself in general. And like we've said, not have the answers necessarily. But there's people who, you know, from high school until they die, just drink every weekend socially, not even necessarily problem drinking, but like manageable life is okay. Social drinking on the weekends. And it's like, well, why is this any that different from that? Like the same. It's just we enjoy one thing over another. And that's where I think just, you know, be a bit multifaceted.
Yeah, true. And I guess also, I mean, again, maybe I'm having like a moment of this is what I can do. Like, remind yourself when you are doing something cool, like when you're traveling somewhere. And yeah, maybe it's your millionth church you've been in. Be like, just remind yourself in that moment, I'm in a really old, cool church and I'm traveling and I'm where, like, you know, like when I went to Florence, I was like, I'm in Florence. Like, I'm in Italy right now, you know, like just reminding yourself of like, this is a cool thing. It is
kind of like gratitude practices. And you know, there's so much work out there that we can all do towards practicing gratitude. There's so many benefits for it. And even just my answer to everything is kind of nature. Like, it sounds crazy, but everything's worse when you're in a man-made structure, just confined and not going out. Like, you don't have to travel to go out on a hike in the woods and be amazed.
True.
So that's usually my go-to when life is hard.
Well, what we're saying is then, guys, everybody go to the woods. Have a moment. Have a little meditation.
Become
moment.
Bush people.
Become a lady of the trees.
The bush.
The bush. Okay. guys, as always, we want to hear from you. What, like, have you experienced this? If you have, what are your tips? Tell Steph and I. Do you have the answers? Because we don't. We're like, let's just talk about it and see. I mean, I feel like we had a couple aha moments. Also, really recommend reading Unexpected Joys of the Ordinary by Catherine Gray. Pick up a copy. She's great.
Yes. And if you would rather win a copy, you can tag us on Instagram or Twitter at @shitabroadpod with your tips and tricks on how you continue to find joy in the everyday. We'll pick a random winner from all the responses, so we look forward to seeing what you have to say.
Great. Well, looking forward to hearing from you all, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.